because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Homosexual neighborhood. No, wait a minute, I'm sorry. In the homosexual community, as if there is one. I just want to say right now, I would like to say thank you to all of the perverts out there who are sending me pictures of penises. Thank you. And they seem to be really, really amping it up. One of them got mad because folks, for the life of me, I don't get it. Homosexuals, you know what I'm saying, right? It's amazing. Over and over. So just be aware. They're out there sending out pictures of penises. What a country we live in. If I did it, right? Boy, it'd be all over the evening news. We're at war. We just don't know we are, folks. We're at war. We're going to get into some of that here today. Glad you tuned in. I thank God, literally, that I have this show. I thank God, literally, that I have this show because it's a chance for me to be able to vent. If I had to go around in my life with this stuff inside me without an opportunity to be able to get it out, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd do. And if you're anything like me, but most of you in here are, you have a greater understanding of what's going on around us. And I'm amazed that others can't see it. I'm amazed. Just amazed. You want to test your patience. Get in an argument with a millennial over abortion. Huh? Oh, Lord, help us, because we are already at war. Now, see, I said just before we went on here in the queue, see, the team we're fighting against, they're already running plays, folks. They're already at war. They're already seizing territory. They're already sharpening their axes. They've already infiltrated and they're ready to be. And we're still sitting back trying to convince one another that there's a war coming. We are already at war. I got so much good stuff to give you today. I got Mike, he's going to come on. We're going to talk about faggots and maggots and what happened with him. I'm going to be in Kentucky this weekend. Michelle and I are going to gather together, about 20 of us, and we're going to have some good fellowship and some good food and not really get anything probably too much accomplished other than rubbing shoulders with like-minded patriots. And if you'd like to go, if you're close to Kentucky at all, and you'd like to be part of it, you still got time to join. It's going to be basically an all-day Saturday, part-day Sunday thing. So looking forward to that. Of course, we have – Next weekend, we're having the tactical training here at Sky High. I've been out there every day mowing grass, cleaning up, doing everything we can. And again, if you're coming, this is probably not going to be an afternoon at the beach. Okay, so expect to rough it a little bit in regards to showers, and we're trying to do the best we can to get everything set up. Sky High, the house itself's not ready for people to come in and traipse through it. It's just not ready. We're trying to get it up and fixed up. So we're going to make it as comfortable as we can, but understand that this is a battle mode and you're coming. And if you bring your own camper, bring your own tent, all kinds of places. You get in a hotel, everything's good. Everything's good. So Mike Heath got fired. I got a bunch of stuff I want to share with you today. I know it's all going to tie together. Mike's been working for FedEx, trying to earn a living, and he got fired. Now, he knew maybe it was coming. I'll let him tell the story here. And the question we have to ask ourselves is how we as How are Christians supposed to respond? I hear it all. Well, coach, we're in the world, more of the world, but not of the world. We have coach. We're not like everyone else. We have to respond in love. And I get all that stuff. See, the kingdom of God is within me. It's within me. It's a kingdom. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's what it was, folks. And his ever-expanding kingdom is at work right now. Unfortunately, most of us aren't aware of it. We don't understand what it means, kingdom principles, advancing the kingdom from the days of John the Baptist to now. The kingdom of God has suffered violence and violent men take it force by force. None of those words are even spoken in our churches today. And we are being eaten alive by Christless rules, Christless rulings. The Ten Commandments were put in place. We couldn't do the Ten Commandments. So now we got 10,000 government rules. And the 10,000 government rules do nothing except most of them are designed to take money from you. That's all government rules are about. Do this, don't do that. Signs everywhere. Signs blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? They put signs up. You violate it. They make money from you. That's really what's going on. And see, they're really, really in trouble now because I just saw today that 31.5 million dollar shortfall. I think it was in the city of Columbus. $35 million shortfall. You wonder why they're doing away with the police? They don't have any money. Why don't they have any money? Because they've done this lockdown. Why have they done this lockdown? Because it's demonic. Because we are already at war. We don't understand it. We do not understand it. We think things are going to go back to normal. We watch the stock market go up. We turn on the radio. Oh, yeah, employment's up. Yeah, well. And in the meantime, they're getting out more masks. Ask yourself this. Why are the mask makers still making masks? We've been at this for 4 months. Wouldn't everybody have a mask right now? Except they're still making masks. Maybe they know something we don't know. What happened, Mike? What happened?
Coach, I've had an outstanding year, 2020. Can't wait to see how it's going to continue and how it's going to end. But last Tuesday, I went to work after being away on vacation for a week. I was in Maine taking care of some family matters and came back, went back to the terminal. I was dutifully focused on sorting and loading my packages into my truck when a stranger entered into my space and interrupted me and officiously looked at me and said, "Are you Michael Heath?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm with security. Follow me." And then he proceeded to walk, and my heart proceeded to start to move into my throat.
I'm from the government. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Right
there, you go. So I knew nothing, and we walked a long ways. It's a huge building. And we went through a key-locked door and a second door into his little cubicle office. And he sat me down, and he sat down behind his desk, and he turned on his recorder, and he said, "Do you understand that this is confidential?" And so I'm thinking, what in the world is this about? So I asked, and he said, "I'm going to get into that. Do you agree that this is confidential?" I should have said no and just started to. You know how hindsight works, coach.
Well, hang on a minute, Mike. See, we think we have to be honest all the time, right? We are to be honest. We're not wise as serpents and harmless as doves, though, right?
Huh? No, and then we do get into the hindsight game in matters like this, and this has happened throughout my career, and we take seriously their charges against us, and then we start running them in loops, endless loops in our mind. Was I wrong? A faggot? You know, that was a strong word. Rancid flesh. I did use that phrase. And we start running it in a continuous loop in our mind and blaming ourselves, that kind of thing. So anyway, so I agreed that it was confidential. So he started running the recorder. And very quickly, we got to the point, which was that I was the victim of an anonymous complaint to the
anonymous one. Could have been him, right? It could have been him.
Anonymous complaint to the corporation. Now, the way FedEx Ground works is I don't work for FedEx. I work for a contractor who has an exclusive contract with FedEx. So my contractor has only one employer or whatever, one contract, and that's FedEx. But I don't work for FedEx, and FedEx does that to get around to make a lot of money. They do that so that they can keep my wage at about 12, 13 bucks an hour, because we work about 10 to 12 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week, and there's no benefits. So UPS and the post office are the two other big package deliverers, and their union, and they pay their last mile delivery guys a lot more money than FedEx does, FedEx Ground. It's kind of most people don't even know that, but that's the truth. So FedEx is growing in leaps and bounds because it's making such huge profits and it's keeping its labor costs
slave
so
labor,
low.
Mike. Slave labor. Are there any black guys working there? Are there any black guys working there? Slave labor.
Right. But I liked the job because I liked driving and whatever. And my dad died in February. And when he died, he suggested to me that I go back to FedEx. And I wanted to,
like, I assume he said that before he died. He didn't say that.
Yeah, he said that before he died.
Okay.
He's watched me go through this travail through my career because I won't bend over for the sodomy issue in politics and religion. And because I put a very pointed narrative on my politicking. You know, I don't back down in what I write and in what I say when it comes to the issue of sodomy. And so my dad has had to live with that. You know,
are you a closet homo? That's what they tell me.
Yeah, there you go.
When they send me the semi-erect penises, that's what they say. Deep down inside, I really love it. Yep.
They've been saying that about me for 35, 40 years. So anyway, and of course, my dad, it all got splattered on my dad. He went and run for city council in Augusta, Maine, and he lost. And part of the reason was the homosexuals linked him up with me because I was the most well-known Christian in Maine at the time because of this issue. And they deep-sixed his desire to be a public servant. This was like 20 years ago. So anyway, my dad's had to live with watching his oldest son bounce around on this. And let me say this, Coach, the first institution to cancel me and my career in
the
lobbying
church.
Was the church. And that was 15 years ago. The church was the first. It just took FedEx 15 years to figure it out. You know, the American corporations, the church was first. Church was first at canceling me.
Gotcha.
And canceling this message about homosexuality. And that's why Donald Trump takes the position he is. He's got supreme fine-tuned political instincts, and he knows that this issue is just very volatile.
It's poison. He doesn't need the fight, right?
Yeah, he doesn't need the fight. Who does need the fight? So anyway, I'm in this interrogation where I'm being treated as guilty until I can – well – I wasn't even given the opportunity to prove my own innocence. So we don't have, if you think you live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty, wake up.
So Mike, there's people who are saying to me, what did he do? What did he do to get fired? You never got there, Mike. What'd you do?
Well, I actually technically didn't get fired. I mean, I'm going to be talking to a lawyer this morning to try to figure it out because they didn't fire me. What they did was they, quote, disqualified me. So they did the interrogation, the recorded interrogation, and then everything was silent until 2 days ago. I didn't hear a thing. So my contractor was speculating that FedEx would just drop it, that it would just go away. And I was starting to be hopeful because one of the points they made in the interrogation that I agreed with was I made some videos where I was wearing my FedEx uniform because I worked 10 to 12 hours a day and I was beat at the end of the day. And I started work at 5:30 in the morning. So I would be in my uniform and I recorded some videos wearing my uniform when I was going to or from work. I never recorded or published any videos while I was on the clock for FedEx. I was wearing my uniform on the way to work or coming from work in my office on my The office that I rent, it's all my expenses.
So, Mike, let me ask you a question, Mike. If I were to go buy a FedEx shirt, could they ban me? If I were to just go buy a FedEx shirt at a Goodwill and wore it and made videos, could FedEx ban me from the property?
Well, that's a good question. The argument that they're the argument they're making against me is that because I was wearing the purple when I made political statements in videos on the internet, I was saying that FedEx supported my position, which I, when I did the recordings, that thought wasn't in my mind. Okay. But so what? I mean, it doesn't matter that thought wasn't in my mind. I agreed during the interrogation that FedEx had a point. I said, but I was thinking, hey, look, this, I'm talking about homosexuality here. It's wicked. It's evil. I'm just too naive about
it. Mike, if I was wearing an Ohio State football shirt and did it, would Ohio State University be endorsing it?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So so that's the one point I agreed with in the interrogation. So I took everything down, Coach. Wednesday, I took down the videos. I took down my website. I hid everything. And I thought, I really want to keep this job if I can, in part to honor my father's death wish, in part because I enjoyed the work, even though I didn't get paid a whole lot. But I enjoyed the work. This is a beautiful part of the country, the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I looked forward to every day, even when it was pouring down rain. I looked forward to going out there and delivering packages and helping people to get what they ordered done online. So it just
Said faggots and maggots while wearing a FedEx shirt, and they fired you. Except they didn't fire you. They just banned you from being on the property. Is that where we are?
Apparently. We're trying to the lawyer's going to be.
You weren't in the truck driving down, knocking on people's doors, talking to them about faggots and maggots. You weren't doing that, right?
Coach, 4 years on and off with FedEx, not one complaint ever from a customer. Not one. Every contractor I've worked for told me I'm their best driver. I was dutiful. I kept my head down. I understood the difference between being a professional and doing my work, which was very simple work, Coach. Very simple work. You get, you fill a truck with 100 packages in the morning, and you at the end of the day, you've made 60 to 90 stops, and the truck's empty. It's very simple, basic work. And I
so, Mike, if you've been wearing a FedEx shirt and you've been talking about Black Lives Matter, would they have been mad?
Oh my goodness, I'd be a hero, right?
Yeah,
I'd be a hero.
Yeah. So it's viewpoint discrimination, seems to me, right?
Well, and that's on that's on the recording. I stopped the interrogation, and the quote, "good Christian," he told me during the interrogation
that he was
that he's a good Christian. Yeah, and he said he read. A quote that I from my column where I talked about rancid flesh, and then he stopped and paused for effect and looked at me and said, "So, don't you think that that's a little bit incendiary? That's incendiary
language." Is this your pastor now? Is this your pastor that's telling you this?
This is the interrogator.
Okay, I thought maybe it was your pastor. Go ahead.
The good Christian interrogator. So when he used that word incendiary, it triggered me, Coach. I couldn't stop myself. I said, now, wait a minute. I want to tell you about something that's incendiary. And it's a true story. It's about God the Father raining down fire from heaven on the five plains of the city, two of which were named Sodom and Gomorrah. Perhaps you've heard of them. And so that's on the recording as well. So
he's a good Christian, so he'd probably heard of him.
So that was the interrogation. So then 2 nights ago, 6 o'clock at night, I'd put in two pretty good hard days. And my contractor calls me and tells me that he goes on and on about how he took my side and yada, yada, yada. And how he didn't fire me or I don't know. He said that the guy, Marcus, I think his name is, black guy who runs the terminal, told my contractor that I was disqualified, my contractor was kind of vague, but when he asked for the key to my truck and said the truck, they'd be picking up the truck that night, I realized that I didn't have a job anymore. But I wasn't really fired. I was disqualified, and then they asked me to turn in my badge. So I'm a lot of this is speculation, but I'm assuming what it means is that the corporation has disqualified me for to step foot on FedEx property, and therefore the contractor doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to fire me. It's out of his hands. The corporation has decided he wore the purple. He said that homosexuality is wrong. He used the word faggots. He can't represent us anymore. I think that's what happened.
That sounds right. Sounds right.
So
where are you with that?
Well, I'm talking to a lawyer and put out an email this morning.
Mike, Christians don't sue.
I will. Can't wait if there's a case. We don't know yet because of the wearing the purple thing. But
There's always a case. People can make a case. People can make a case for killing babies, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something as ridiculous as snatching a baby right out of its mother's womb. People can make a case for that, Mike. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can always make a case. Peter, I saw you tried to come in. Come on in, Pete.
Yes, this is a real simple one. You're a contractor, Mike. So you, as a contractor, you don't represent FedEx, so they can't take action against you.
In fact, they pretty much said that, didn't they, Mike? You don't represent them, or they would have fired you.
I worked for a contractor. The contractor took my side in the matter. FedEx disqualified me, whatever the heck that means. So there's a lot of legal niceties here, I guess. And I'm really glad that I'm able to talk to an attorney. Coach has put me in touch with someone. He's helping me. And because I don't know, I mean, what a crazy evil time we've entered into.
So what do we do, folks? Let me open it up. Anybody want to ask Mike a question here? So I'm going to tie some things together. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Gary. I just a comment. Yeah, the guy that was interrogating you asked you, if you were making incendiary comments, or don't you think that was incendiary? Here's one that could have been used on him in hindsight. Is, well, I think this conversation we're having is a little bit incendiary, don't you think?
How about the penises I'm getting in my email? Are those incendiary, you think? Right? How about them teaching sodomy to my grandchildren? Is that incendiary, you think, Mike? How about them telling me that I can't go to church because of a virus? Is that incendiary? What the hell does that even mean, incendiary? And aren't there some things that need to be burned up? Aren't there some things that need to be set on fire? See, that's what we're going to have to make a decision on, folks. Are we willing to set brush fires in the minds of people or not? Are we willing to be incendiary? Are we willing to be incendiary? In fact, Sheldon, let's find out what that means, Sheldon. Go to my old buddy Webster real quick, and let's go to incendiary. Are Christians incendiary? Felt like fire caught up in my bones, what scripture said, didn't it? You know, John, was it Paul? Who has it said that? Felt like fire caught up in my bones. We serve a God that answers by fire. That's incendiary, isn't it? I-N-C-E-N.
That would be Jeremiah.
I-N-C-E-N-D. N D I A. There you go. That was, it should have been. There it is. A person who maliciously sets fires. A person who excites or inflames factions and promotes quarrels. There, well, I'd be you, man. Well, how about this? Number four. He or that which excites. Good for you, Mike. You are incendiary. We need a little bit more of that. Tending to excite or inflame factions, seditions, or quarrels.
And Mike, Coach, isn't this against our First and Fourth Amendment?
I believe it is, brother. I believe it said doesn't apply to Christians. Hey, Michelle, I need my cord. I need my computer cord. My computer's going dead. Oh, my goodness. Somebody else come on in. My blood pressure is about 980. I think that's high, isn't it?
Hey, so I mentioned I worked for UPS, right? So UPS has always had some kind of rivalry. And we always found out the FedEx guys started earlier than we did. And we never knew why. And now we know why, because you guys were contractors and they were scamming you guys, basically.
Well,
here's
how FedEx has figured it out. They've used computers and algorithms to time stops down to the nanosecond. All the package delivery companies have done this. But what FedEx has done is they've figured out for every area in America how they can keep a driver on the road for at least 10 hours and no more than 12 hours and pay them a daily wage. And the daily wage is about $125 to $145, tops out at around $145, $150 a day. It's a daily wage. So,
all you got to do is trade your free speech rights for that. You get that, right?
That's exactly right. So it works out to about $12, $13 an hour and with no benefits. And so they're up against UPS, which is, I mean, UPS drivers are career guys and six figures sometimes, you know, after 6, 7, 8 years, I guess, I'm told. Post office is very similar. And they're all in the same business. That last mile of delivery is the same for every company, you know, almost regardless of the size of the package. It's the same. So the economics work in FedEx's favor. FedEx has cut a deal with Walmart to go after Bezos. And so we delivered all of Walmart stuff during COVID, during the lockdown. And so it's, anyway, that's the economics of the package delivery trinity, which is battling it out, the post office, the UPS, and FedEx.
Yeah, but hang on. But see, the bigger issue is we're at war. That's the bigger issue, folks. Mike Heath would not have been fired had he been black and had he been supporting Black Lives Matter. In fact, if Mike had been wearing a FedEx shirt supporting Black Lives Matter, they would have promoted him to supervisor. Probably, right? So this is a clear case of viewpoint discrimination. Thanks, sweetie. My folks, I had to go off camera here to plug my computer in. Go ahead.
There's no doubt it's a case of viewpoint discrimination, Coach, because I was careful in – I've always been careful in my narrative because I've been doing this a long time. I don't single out individuals. I've never singled out private individuals in my narrative. Only politicians. If I name anybody, it's politicians. And I also stop short always of advocating for violence or any sort of hostility towards
individual. So Bill Clinton said it all depends on what the meaning of is. So it all depends on what the meaning of maggot is, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't say Larry Richardson's a faggot. John Smith is a maggot. You didn't name anybody in particular, did you, Mike?
No, that's correct. I did not. I mentioned the only name mentioned in that column was Donald Trump. And the point that I was making is
you can call him a name. You can call him a faggot or a maggot. You're allowed to do that.
Right. Well, the point I was making is that Donald Trump has the point of the spear of his narrative in politics is the personal insult. Right. I mean, that's how he won. That's how he knocked off all those primary opponents in 2016. He came up with those pet names and he went on Twitter and he came up with clever pet insults, personal insults, naming them,
they
personally
stuck.
Insulting.
They
stuck because they were brilliant characterizations. And the point of, if you read my column, which I republished today in my email, if you read the column, Faggots and Maggots, my point is that Donald Trump won and continues to win because he is making things that are personal. And the idea that my grandchildren should be exposed to the most vile forms of sexual evil on their devices and have it be encouraged in their schools and have it be modeled for them by the teachers is a personal attack. That's a very personal attack. That's a personal attack. And so I use the word faggot and maggot because I'm personally offended. I'm really mad about all of this. And
Mike, could you put on your FedEx shirt and root for the Carolina Panthers? Would you be allowed to do that? Could you say go Panthers? Would they boot you out for that, you think? Probably would, huh? Could you put on your FedEx? Well, we've already been through it. You could be. So it's clear viewpoint discrimination, right? So that's really what we're talking about. Because, folks, listen, we're at war, see? And can I tell you this? all, I'm going to say it with A-L-L, all of the big corporations are in bed now with the government. All of them are in bed with the government because
amen.
Because they have been intimidated for fear of lawsuits. The last thing FedEx wants is a bunch of homos outside their office holding signs and saying FedEx is hateful. That's the last thing they want, folks. That is the ultimate bullying. That's what's going on. The last bullying everyone. Roger, go ahead.
And they know that the church will never be outside their corporate doors.
They know that. The church will never, ever. In fact, it was a good Christian man that fired Mike.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You asked the question, and this is key, exactly what's happening here with Michael and why the church isn't doing anything. Jeremiah 29 talks about that the word of God was in him, and it shot up like fire in his bones, that he could not keep his mouth quiet. That's because the fire of God is in them. When there's no fire, in their brother, guess what? They don't say nothing. That's why the church is silent, because there is no Holy Spirit fire.
So Mike, he used Amen. Your faith. He used your faith against you. He fired you because of your faith, because of that fire in your bones was incendiary. And the Bible tells us that that's like fire caught up in your bones. And all you did was express your faith. And he saw it as incendiary.
That's right. He did. And he's right. And it is incendiary. And why isn't he? Why aren't all of us? Why isn't every single father in America as mad or more mad than I am? Especially black fathers. Because 70% of the black community in America is fatherless. So where's the other 30% of the black community? Where are those fathers? 3 out of 10 black fathers. Why aren't we hearing from them? Why aren't they screaming from the rooftops that in order to solve the problem in the black community,
same reason, man.
They need to fix their families. And the same thing needs to be said about so-called white. And I'm not a racist. I've never thought of people in racial terms. I never have. And but it's white. What divorce rate is up to half now? The problem here is the fact that none of us care enough about the idea of the father and what that means to actually do something about it.
Amen.
Which means we begin by repenting personally ourselves for the mistakes that we made along the way. Because this didn't just happen yesterday.
Here's the biggest mistake we make, folks, because I've lived it. Okay. I've lived it. Your children try to make you feel guilty. See, we have it upside down. Who, pardon my French a second, who in the hell are my children telling me what I can say and what I believe? Who in the hell do they think they are? And that's where we are, most of us, right? Most of us don't want to offend our families. We don't want our children mad at us, because if our children get mad at us, well, we can't see the grandchildren if that happens. So therefore, Dad, we're going to teach you a lesson. Daddy, you keep talking like that. You're not going to see Sarah. Daddy, can you stop talking like that? Here, Sarah, here's Grandpa. You like that, Daddy? Well, you can keep seeing Sarah, Daddy, but you can't talk like that anymore. Folks, you think I'm making it up? Or is this really what's going on in the real world?
Coach, you aren't making it up. It is everywhere. Amen. It is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. It's Coach, in every family now.
Amen. Coaches, it was incendiary to me to watch the gay parade with FedEx going down the alley on that street supporting.
How about that? They're marching in the parade, weren't they? That's incendiary. Yep. That was incendiary. That's for sure. That's for sure. See, here's the problem. It goes back to a column I wrote a couple weeks ago. There's no redress of grievances. Who do you turn to? Where do you go? If they locked up Hillary Clinton tomorrow, are you guys sure they'd find her guilty? Are you guys sure that there would be an honest trial with her? Of course not. No. Why? There's no redress of grievances. There's no standard. Standards change. Those who are supposed to enforce the standards don't enforce the standards. We are in an unbelievable world of mess, a mess of whatever. We're in a mess. I don't trust the government. The government is so stinking corrupt, and the government makes rules and laws and forces you to follow them, and they're all done just nothing more than control you, and tell you what you can say and what you can do and where you can go and how much you got to pay and everything. Is there anything that you do in your life that when you do it, you don't first stop and think, what's government going to say? Do I need the government approval? Oh, you want to build a cross? Do you have approval from the government? Oh, well, I don't care what it is. Do you have government approval? Did you get the permit to do it? Folks, it's unbelievable where we are. We're already at war. We don't know it. See, they're going to come. Oh, I got so much even right now that I could talk about. The church.
Hey, Coach.
The church seeks permission from the government. The government does not seek permission from the church. Can any Christian tell me that that's not upside down? Come on, somebody's coming and I'll try to walk on you. Go ahead.
No, Mike, this is Glenn. It just goes back to the church leadership is so so weak, you know, and they won't address the cultural issues. They just won't address it.
No.
You know, they would rather, you know, teach a lesson. You know, they'd rather focus on Bible studies.
Well,
Christianity is possessed by the demon of feminism. It is Roman Catholic and Protestant Christianity in the West is possessed by the demon of feminism, period. It is possessed. And we're watching now Christianity amped up over the last 2,000 years in the Western part of the world, right? Europe. It moved from the Middle East to Europe. And the West has been considered everything from northern China, Russia, basically all the way over to us for the last 100, 200 years. That's the Christian world. Now, what's fascinating is we're all used to hating communist Soviet Union. That's gone. That dissolved about 30 years ago, whatever it was, 20. And what is replacing communism in Russia, Poland, and Hungary is populist nationalism. And get this, Christianity. And it's a form of Christianity which is rewarding young people for having children, praising them for having children, outlawing abortion, outlawing the propagandizing of children by homosexuals, and discouraging homosexuality in general in Russia. And so it's in my lifetime, we've watched a reversal from the evil empire being in the eastern part of the West to the evil empire literally now. And the evil empire is now us, Western Europe. You know, it's Europe and America. We are the evil empire. And okay.
Go ahead, Larry.
You know, I'd like to interject here that we all know in this queue, especially, and probably most of the people listening, we all know that when we're talking about the church this, the church that, the pastors this, the pastors that, we're not talking about the godly church. We're talking about the pretend fake church that is run by Satan, not pastors. Because if it was the church, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So it is not the church. That which wants people to consider them to be the church. They claim to be the church, but they are not the church.
That's where most people go, though, Larry. That's why we use that term. Hey, let me make a point here real quickly, okay? Sheldon, at the bottom of what I sent you today, I got two things. One, masks in Ohio and more in Ohio. I'm going to show you two things I found on lourockwell.com. By the way, one of my favorite sites I check every morning, lourockwell.com. So, Sheldon, pull up either one of those two things in the morning. These are just kind of like letters to the editors that popped up. I want to share these with you. This is written by Mark Higdon. Masks, July 9th, okay, that was yesterday. Things in Ohio are much worse than reported. City councils and mayors of Columbus and several Franklin County suburb cities have piled on, passing enforceable ordinances to replace local executive orders. They prescribe varying degrees of warnings, citations, fines, and possible arrests. Fines are not only imposed on customers, but also on establishments that fail to enforce mask ordinances. Fines on the latter can be quite substantial. Ordinary citizens who defy risk detention, arrest records, and convictions. Consider what this will mean if there are gun owners and or CC permit holders. Imagine you're a gun holder and you resist and you get arrested. They would be subject to revocations and confiscations, left defenseless and possibly jailed with felony records to follow them for the rest of their lives. They could also not vote, at least in this state. By the way, state law prohibits carrying concealed, even with a permit, while wearing a face mask. It's against the law in Ohio to wear a face mask and carry a gun. This is the real reason jails and prisons, folks, listen. This is the real reason prisons were emptied of murderers, rapists, and robbers and kept free of rioters, vandals, and looters. Why? To reserve space for those who choose to go through life unmasked. Free has been lost, possibly forever. The right to self-defense is circling the drain as well. If you can't make the connection to what's going on, now do the other one, masks in Ohio. These were both on Lou Rockwell today, both of these regarding Ohio. And I'm going to show you something else, okay? Hang on. Bear with me a second. Oh, yeah. The devil's always at work. Kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, folks. Don't ever think it's not happening. Excuse me. Sheldon, did you work on the other one, Sheldon? The one that says masks in Ohio. The other one. There's two of them. Play the one right above it. Masks in Ohio or more in Ohio, whatever. Okay, so here's another one. Nope, that's the same one. Those links are the same? Okay, so then it's another one. Doesn't matter. Go up to where it says the one that says we are already at war. Underneath that one. Underneath it, we are already at war. We are already at war. Click on that one. Because I want you to see this, that there is hope, see. Here in Ohio, we have a state representative by the name of Nino Vitale, who has told Ohioans, stop getting tested and stop wearing masks. This is a rogue, actual, real state representative who's come out against the governor and is telling his constituents, stop getting tested because it gives them false numbers. Stop it already. Stop getting tested. And number two, stop wearing the stupid masks. Stop wearing, this is an elected official. Now, I wonder how many people are coming alongside Congressman State Rep. Nino Vitale. I wonder how many are coming to stand along. I wonder how many churches are coming alongside him, right? Mike, I'm sorry. I got to mix all this together, okay? I got another one I got to show you real quickly here, just so you know. Because you've got to read this, folks. I don't have time to read it right now. Go to the second one, Sheldon. It says the occult nature of the lockdown. The occult nature of the lockdown. Pull that up real quick. And I'm going to get you got to read this one, folks. This has to do with masks. There's occult ritual transformation in the coronavirus. How mask wearing, hand washing, social separation, and lockdowns are age-old occult rituals being used to initiate people into a new global order. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go down and read this because it's very, very, very extensive, very well done, folks. This is wearing masks is occult. Right there. So freeze right there a minute. And these you see throughout the rest of the commentary, the entire manufactured coronavirus crisis is one giant occult ritual from start to finish. Divided up into four mini rituals, each with a distinct occult purpose of initiation, transformation of the world and its people into a new global order. Hey, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. Call it a conspiracy theory. How do they do it? Ritual mask wearing. Ritual hand washing, ritual social distancing, and ritual lockdowns. And it's all spelled out from this former occultist. You don't have to believe it. It's all right. You don't have to believe it. Fine. Hey, let's go one more. I got to show you. Hey, do this one. I click on occult rituals. It's right underneath it. It's right underneath it, Sheldon. This is a YouTube video. I don't have time to show it. I'm just going to try to put it in the, you can look at it on your own.
Changes to the whole of the environment, people.
The characteristics of an initiation ritual all having to do with masks and all this stuff that's going on. Say, oh, coach, you're crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. You talk about the Masons. You talk about, oh, coach, you just, okay. All right.
If your churches were telling you all this stuff, you realize everything he's telling you is true.
Well, you don't have to see. But, oh, Lord. Hey, guys, we're already at war. We're already at war. You know? Hey, you know what, Mike? Everybody feels bad for you. So God's dead. Doggone, Mike, that's too bad. What does the Bible say? If you say to your brother, be filled and be warm. Oh, sorry that happened to you, Mike. Thanks for standing up for Jesus. Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you, Mike. Then you stand by and you watch it happen to the next guy, next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy, next guy. And, well, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I got to take care of my wife. I'd love to fight. I'd love to fight. But what would happen to my wife if I did? What would happen to my wife? And see, in the meantime, we're losing it, man. Folks,
well,
they're already at war. We're not. They're already at war. Go, Mike.
If we haven't already lost it, here's how I see the next two to three to four years. We have a chance right now to win this politically, maybe, but it's a big maybe. I'm not sure we can win it politically.
I'm not either.
I'm thinking that probably this is now we've entered violence territory. Period. We've entered, like you say, war. What is war? Well, war is killing or being killed. It's very simple. You reduce everything down to kill or be killed. That's what war is by definition. Politics is war without bullets. It's where you get the opportunity to debate and argue and reason, and everybody gets the right to an opinion. And America is designed to unleash the opportunity for the expression of an infinite number of opinions, as long as you fit within a certain set of guidelines that are defined by the First Amendment and by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. That's the way America was designed. But that stopped working a long time ago. But we still have politics. We've got Trump, right? Trump may win. That may give us another 4 years. But the end of this, if we can't fix it politically, is violence. It's kill or be killed.
So let me ask this. I'm looking at Jeff Klein. I'm looking at the screen now. I see Jeff Klein. I see Roger Weaver. I see some other business owners, Mark. So listen, if you're a business owner and your business is getting kind of big, and so you hire an office manager. So Jeff Klein's selling so many cars, he goes out and hires an office manager. Jeff, when you hire that office manager, is he now the boss? Is he now the boss? So do you now take all of your orders from the office manager? Or at some point do you walk in and say, hey, listen, dude, I'm the owner here. You work for me, right? You would do that at some point, wouldn't you, Jeff? Say, listen, I'm going to make that decision. I own this business, right? Hey, folks, that's what we call government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So if we go out and we elect Jeff now, he don't become the boss. He's the office manager. He's not the boss.
Amen.
We the people, but we've yielded it all. We our churches teach Americans, churches teach churchgoers that elected officials are their boss. And they're not. Hey, there are office managers.
Amen. Because the same thing happens in church. Pastors are the bosses, the leaders. Yeah.
You're right, brother. Pastors and bosses. That's right.
They want to use the Romans 13 trickery on you, say, well, they're the ones in authority over you. No, it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we're their boss. We don't submit to them. They're supposed to submit to us.
Dale, who the hell do they think they are telling us we have to wear masks? Who are these people? Who are these people telling Mike Heath he can't say what he wants to say on his private time? Who the hell are these people?
That's the idiots. Right? Idiots, Coach. Straight up idiots.
Hey, Coach, two things. I go up to my mayor, claims to be a Christian, and he's obeying like a robot at every single procedure. This my Nevada.
I'm sorry. That's our governor. That's our governor. He's giving an order. Just the sound of that, right? He's giving us an order. Who is our employee? Jeff Klein's office manager is giving him an order.
Testing.
I've never seen like
Coach, it's a little off. I agree with what you're talking about. But I went to the commissary 2 days ago, and they had the Petri dish meat on sale. The plant-based look like meat for sale. Hamburger patties.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Here's a thought. You might want to try this. They're saying with the government, all this screwing up they're doing, all these people getting that $1,000 and $1,200 unemployment checks, they're saying you don't even have to be laid off. All you have to do is say you're looking for work. He might qualify to get that huge unemployment money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but see, here's what's going on, folks. Man, that's just cheese in a trap. They're buying time for something. They're spending money they don't even have. They don't even have it. They're buying time. I don't know what it is. I wish I knew what the answer was. I don't know what the answer is. But I'm going to tell you this. I pulled up there, Sheldon. I've been resisting it. We're already at war. This was written by the NC Renegade. We're already at war. And some of you, this may have some colorful language in it. I apologize ahead of time if it does. I read it very quickly this morning. Winston Churchill said, if you make it a little bigger, please, Sheldon. Churchill said, still, if you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, and if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. There may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there's no hope of winning, because it's better to perish than to live as a slave.
Amen, Coach.
Churchill said that. Normalcy bias, a cognitive bias which leads people to disbelieve or minimize threat warnings. That's called normalcy bias. Consequently, individuals underestimate the likelihood of a disaster when it might affect them and its potential adverse effects. We see it in storms, right? People prepare for storms. Larry's down there in South Carolina. Storm comes, they know a storm's coming, they board up, they get it, right? They know what happens with storms. Most of us don't get it. I find it amazing how many people are still asleep at the wheel. The whole world has been forever changed, and most people don't even realize it. They think they're going to go to the polls in November and vote in Trump, and everything's going to be great. All the world's going to be bright again. Voting is useless, really. Half of this country is openly at war. Obviously, there is no rule of law. The other half is still talking about voting. For some reason, those on our side seem to think that we can vote, and this talk of a coming civil war is going to be avoided. Well, I got news for you. It's already begun, folks. War's already begun. If you sit quietly and just listen to your own heart and your mind and your gut, you should know what's coming. It's not pleasant. Most of us live nice, cushy lives. We don't want to give up our comforts, but you can feel it. There's no denying it. It's a queasy feeling you get when you watch another statue of our history being torn down. It's that knot in your stomach as you watch the news and see businesses being destroyed for what reason you don't even know. It's that tension and that static in the air as you're shopping for groceries and notice that things are not in stock the way they used to be. It's that nauseating feeling when you go to purchase some more ammo or another rifle and find out there isn't any left to buy. It's that anger that boils up when you are called racist simply for the color of your skin, which, by the way, you were born with. It's that sorrow you feel when people tell you that you've lived a privileged life, even though you weren't handed a thing in a day in your life and worked hard for everything that you have. John Mark, who we have shared many of his videos here on Renegade, deleted his YouTube account and had his administrator post this message. It said, "This is a post I'm sorry to make. John has decided to move on. His family life has struggled in all of this. The recent issues have made him reassess his priorities. And many on this side have made it abundantly clear. They do not want a solution. They want only blood. I don't know if he will be back or if he'll stay away forever. I don't know. He loved you all, but everyone's safe. War is all that's left." So the guy responds, first of all, why couldn't have John come out and said it himself instead of letting his administrator write that for him? Second, why delete your sub YouTube account? Some of the videos were very informative and people should see him. Yada, yada. Listen. I'm going to tell you something. I want to encourage you right now. I want to encourage you. in the election of 2016, listen to me. The Democratic Party held every TV station, every radio station, every governmental agency, every media outlet. They had all the power that you could ever, ever have. They held it all. And Donald Trump came out of nowhere and won an election. Do you know why? Because slowly and surely, over social media, Larry Richardson changed five people's hearts. And Mike Heath changed five people's hearts. And Roger Weaver changed five people's hearts. And Jeff Klein changed five people's hearts. And Gary changed five people's hearts. Little by little, underneath all this power. See, we didn't go top down. We went bottom up. We went bottom up. And we built a base on the bottom that is still out there more than we even understand. And as much as we don't realize it, the squeeze is from the top down. They are trying to squeeze the pyramid and crush the little guys on the bottom. But if you look at a picture of a pyramid, it's broader at the bottom than it is at the top. And for too long, we've permitted those at the top to pressure those of us on the bottom. And it's like a big can of ooze. They have pushed so hard on the foundation that it's now oozing up like oil out from under. Folks, we are on the verge of the greatest pushback against darkness in the history of the world. We are right now, man to man, person Amen. To person, post to post, waking up Americans all across the fruited plain. And I want you, I came to the realization last night as I was just looking across there. Donald Trump won, love him or not, he won because of us. He won because of Joe Sixpack. And the sooner we realize we still possess all the power, sooner we realize that, the sooner we're going to start winning. But as long as we sit back and we want top down smashing, we want Donald Trump to smash our enemies for us. No. Let's together smash our enemies and not expect any man anywhere else. We got to rise up, folks. It's the church. We have got to rise up. We have got to stand up, push back, and crush evil. We have to do that. You can't count on MSNBC or CNN or Fox News or the Republican Party. You can't count on any of them. They are all above you on the pyramid. They're all higher up the pyramid than you. And their job is to try to crush us. But the Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So we have to ask ourselves, are the foundations destroyed? Or are we willing to stand up and push back against them? That's my rant.
Hey, Coach. Let me back your rant up with this from the scriptures. A lot of people, and even some that are listening, maybe some in the queue, I don't know. But a lot of people out there think that the Bible commands us to love our enemies. I'm going to read that verse. It's Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, in Matthew, you also read in Matthew 10:36, you read who Jesus considers the enemy to be. In 10:36, it says this, and a man's foes, or the word for enemy, shall be they of his own household. Your enemies are those within the so-called body of Christ who are against you, who make things difficult for you. That's the ones we're commanded to love. We're commanded to love one another, even when there's differences, even when there's friction, even when you don't agree. If they're your brother in Christ, you're commanded to love them. You're not commanded to love the devil. Let me tell you, folks, put a thinking cap on and think rationally for a second.
So I want to finish this, Larry. Got time, but when I saw that BLM was speaking, I knew right then all the hard work that they had done went straight to the trash heap. Because, folks, BLM are Marxists. Listen, they hate you. and everything you stand for. They hate your morals. They hate your values. They hate the way you raise your children. They hate you and they want you dead and everything that you stand for destroyed. There's no compromise with people like that. There's no compromise. Nobody wants blood, but these people who wish to see our way of life destroyed will not be beaten with words in the Constitution. They don't care anything about that. Their aim is to rule over us, and we will not be ruled by them. They will never give up their quest for their so-called utopia. The pyramid's bigger at the bottom, boys. And we're starting to ooze up. God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you on Monday.